Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 27th of December. Joining us this morning live from Ferndale, which really kind of begs a question that we won't ask, Fortuna Police Chief Casey Day. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, everybody.
We'll just kind of let that one rest and see what people come up with.
Yeah.
Oh, are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Yeah, I'm ready. Hit me.
All right. Let's see if we can get something in the sports arena. Oh, okay. This one could have worked for Cody last week, but we'll go for you. All right. Face off.
All right.
Face off. Why do we use the term face off in hockey?
You know, I am not strong in hockey, Brian. You're gonna have to give me that one.
Well, I could have gone with eagle, but I figured, you know, what's that phrase with eagles and turkeys? No, I wanted to steer clear of that one for you too. All right. Anticipating a confrontation and maybe hoping to avoid it, many a person gets involved in a face-off. This situation doesn't demand the presence of notables. It can develop between next-door neighbors or a pair of fellow workers. Chalk up this expression to sports rather than to meetings between world leaders. As the start of a hockey game approaches, two players face off one another, tensed and poised. Each hopes to drive the puck when an official drops it between them. This hostile situation, leads us to label any confrontation as a face-off. It wasn't even complicated. We both of us could have tried to figure that one out, huh?
Oh, I mean, it's pretty simple. Just a kind of a method of initiating play, it sounds like.
Yeah. Game on, dude. I don't know if you've heard or not, but there was a shooting in Eureka this morning. Three individuals, I think. So rather than initially, we were going to be talking about baseball and just kind of having a fun day, but I think things have changed a little bit in the last week or so. That a little bit more serious today than what we had anticipated when we scheduled Casey in. With a situation like that, do the local jurisdiction, do they typically reach out to others and let everybody know what's going on and get that communication line open so if there is a chase that everybody's kind of ready for it?
Yeah, exactly. So the allied agencies here in Humboldt County, we all are part of a response team that we call CERT. So anytime there's a critical incident, if, you know, a parent agency or the investigating agency needs that assistance, they'll reach out and, you know, we'll provide CERT members to assist with any type of investigation. And that's, you know, for something of this magnitude or for like an officer-involved shooting or anything that's, you know, deemed to be a critical incident. So there is a methodology in which all of us do participate and assist in these investigations.
Was that utilized? Are you familiar with last week when the CHP chased down the goofball there that took shots at another driver?
Yeah, no, I'm not familiar with that incident. I'm not sure whether CERT was utilized or not in that incident.
Yeah, I think sheriffs and CHP, you know, and it ended up in McKinleyville off of the Mad River Bridge, so perhaps not everybody was triggered. And is there a delineation? I mean, if there's an event in northern Humboldt, reaching out to you guys in Ferndale probably doesn't make a ton of sense unless there's a runner, you know, somebody coming down 101 southbound. Does everybody get that notification and then things sort out?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what the situation is. But, you know, there in the 2.5 years that I've been in Fortuna, I mean, we haven't seen a delineation, you know, geographic delineation. I mean, if our allied agencies need assistance, you know, we are usually one of the first agencies just to volunteer that help. So whether it's in McKinleyville or Eureka, or, you know, south of Fortuna, we're always offering our assistance with the Fortuna Police Department.
Now, I would suspect it went the other way last Tuesday. Boy, that was a week ago, huh? Stay away from Tuesdays.
Oh, boy, we're going to get into the earthquake, aren't we?
Well, just a quick quick response. Did you guys need help with the others, or was everybody kind of taking care of their own to just to kind of see how things were working out?
Well, I mean, as you probably read, Brian, I mean, Rio Del pretty much was ground zero. They were the ones that were hit the hardest.
Right.
But most of the other jurisdictions, you know, I mean, there's informal communication between the chiefs and sheriffs, you know, just to see kind of where everybody's at and what everybody needs. But, you know, in Fortuna, I mean, we did pretty well. I mean, we had some minor structural damages to our businesses on Main Street with, you know, the standardized glass breaking, things of that nature. We had a few culverts that I think Merritt Perry already discussed last week that, you know, sustained some minor damage. But all in all, Fortuna did very well. The citizens, you know, were up early repairing storefronts. And, you know, the police got to work right away just following the earthquake, checking on businesses and citizens and seeing where we could help. So segueing back to the original question, we didn't need any assistance from our allied agencies on that day. We worked very close with Fortuna Fire throughout the day just to make sure that we were, you know, checking the boxes and making sure that all of our citizens are taken care of.
Well, that was a question I had too, Casey. If in a situation like that, when things happen, do you have your troops out kind of cruising and just putting eyes on? Or if somebody's requesting assistance, does that take the higher priority, even though it's not within your area?
Yeah, you know, those things naturally have a way of you know, helping us up staff right away. I mean, I know as soon as the earthquake was over, you know, I was, you know, looking for cell phone or flashlight, something to help me get on my boots and get out the door. But, you know, I was in very shortly after the earthquake, and we already had officers and self-dispatched, you know, into the main station, and we're being assigned. So, you know, we're really trying to do that search and assess in the beginning.
That makes sense.
The time of the earthquake made it difficult just because it was still dark outside. But you know, we were doing a lot of assessing and just trying to find out, you know, where our assistance was needed. Of course, we did have those calls for service coming in, and we responded to those.
Perfect. Know, yeah, that makes sense. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Casey Day. Casey, one of the things that I know was on the plate for you guys is the new police station.
Right.
What is going on? Well, I guess initially, what's the status of the current police station? Everything make it okay? Is it still, you know, fully usable, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Brian, it was just, you know, standard non-structural damage. I mean, I think we lost, like, a computer monitor, things of that nature. I mean, obviously, my office at the main station was trashed, as were many others. But structurally, everything is good. The new police facility project is on track. We hit a small delay with closing the bid, which was supposed to happen just before Christmas. But due to the earthquake, there was an extension into the first part of January. So we're looking here in the next week or so to go ahead and close that bid and move towards, you know, breaking ground. And we should have a new police facility here within the next year or so.
Oh, it's that quick of a turnaround with a 12-month timeline?
Well, I mean, nothing about it has been quick. I mean, there's been quite a bit of time and resources and effort put into the project, but you know, we are moving towards that final stage where we're going to see, you know, some breaking ground and moving forward into you know, getting the new facility ready.
Yeah, is that going to include holding cells like the old days, instead of having to hustle everybody up to Eureka all the time?
No, you know, there's a lot of things involved with holding cells, and we do not have that as part of the new police facility. So we have a pre-booking room where we can administer like the intoxilizer and get, you know, paperwork ready for the jail, but the police facility is not meant to house, even on a temporary basis. So, you know, our prisoners all get processed and transported to Humboldt County Jail.
Are there many police stations that do have holding cells anymore? Or
yeah,
is that something
I mean,
that's kind of antiquated?
Well, like I said, there's a lot involved with, you know, the regulations pertaining to housing or you know, keeping somebody in some sort of secure or locked detention. So, I mean, some of the older police departments were designed that way. The police department that I came from, we had originally one temporary holding room, but in our redesign, we got rid of that holding room as well. So it's just better. It's easier to process the arrestee and transport them to the jail, because that facility is designed to hold on a temporary basis those prisoners that we arrest.
Yeah, I would think probably most folks are familiar with the phrase of a drunk tank.
Right.
But with all the liability associated with it, and then ADA and all the other regulatory things that have kicked in the interim, it just isn't practical anymore?
No, and I mean, a lot of it is just, you know, it's a risk management tool as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have the staffing. You know, most agencies don't have, municipal police departments don't have the staffing to continuously supervise, you know, some sort of drunk tank or booking room. And so, you know, like I said earlier, just it makes more sense and it's easier to get them processed and driven north to the jail.
I guess the thing that is curious for a lot of us, what is it, 25 minutes, 30 minutes? So you've got an officer not out of commission, but let's work with that phrase, for a couple of hours for somebody who was like, you know, who was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and if that, obviously, if you're looking at it from an ROI, if that makes most sense, that makes most sense. But it you know, for most of us outside looking in, you kind of scratch your head and go, it's kind of curious. But that's
right.
that's how things go. So what are we going to see in the new police station that is an upgrade from where you are now, other than your neighbors?
Well, I think the main thing is a building that actually, you know, fits the agency, or something that, you know, at least for a few years we can grow into. For those that aren't familiar, you know, the main station at Fortuna is pretty small compared to the size of personnel or staff that we have in the agency. So it was brought to my attention that prior to my arrival 2.5 years ago that everybody was working out of that main station. I got some pretty big boys, so I never really – it was always kind of hard for me to see how that ever worked. But, you know, we're looking forward to the new police facility. It has you know, it's designed to be operator-friendly. I feel like it's going to be a huge morale boost. It's going to be good for the agency to be all under one roof again. One of the highlights is our new conference training room. We are retrofitting that to be kind of a newer upgraded emergency operations center should we need it. And one of the offices will be designated for our allied agencies. So if we have the sheriff's department or somebody down in Fortuna doing follow-up, they'll actually have an office to work out of.
Oh, you mean you're not going to have them go out to the weigh scales out on the highway?
No, I have CHP officers. They like to write reports in my parking lot every now and again, and I, you know, I'm always inviting them inside to a workstation, and so this will just be nice for everybody. you know, from our allied agencies who are working in Fortuna to have a place to work.
Well, that's, you know, as much interaction as you guys have with each other, I would suspect that that's probably something that really is going to be appreciated.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But they don't get the fancy stuff in there, right? They get the hand-me-downs?
You know, everything's going to be new, so.
Oh, jeez.
New for everybody.
You're rolling out the red carpet for everybody. You know, next you're going to have a media room. Jeez.
Maybe.
KINS News and Information.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Casey Day. Casey, with all of the activities that are going on, you know, you're kind of midway in your fiscal year. What are you looking at? What do you see as opportunities that are out there now in Fortuna? You know, Merritt had shared that the mill site is now closed escrow and things are going to start happening there. You excited about the future of Fortuna?
Oh, yeah. Every day is, you know, it seems like there's something being worked on or something new. I mean, I personally am excited for the city. I'm excited for the new police facility. I'm excited for some of the grant opportunities that, you know, we've been awarded and continue to work towards. So, you know, there's a lot going on. And obviously, we look forward to event season in the summertime. And, you know, that just seems to be a different feeling all around in Fortuna. It's, you know, very, very authentic, you know, just the rodeo and everything that we do in the summertime that is something that we all here in Fortuna and the Yorba River Valley look forward to.
One of the things that I have heard is that there wasn't too many people trying to take advantage of situations last week after the earthquake. And that's got to be reassuring to you that everybody was pulling together instead of trying to take advantage of things.
Yeah, it's always a concern, Brian. I mean, we had one individual that we dealt with during early on in the day after the earthquake that I'm sure regretted his choices. But, you know, we had upstaffed and prepared because, you know, in this day and age, we no longer can hope that things are going to be okay. We are obligated to protect our citizens and our businesses. And so, you know, we had upstaffed in the time before the power came back on in the Eel River Valley. So we had plainclothes officers during the nighttime and extra patrol staff that, you know, could really take the time and invest the time in watching people's businesses throughout the night and making sure that, you know, nothing else, you know, the earthquake was hard enough for some folks. We wanted to do all we could do to prevent any further, you know, thefts or looting or anything like that.
Did you have to call them in, or were they there and met you?
Oh no, we had, you know, Fortuna PD. It's a close knit police organization. We had several phone calls from officers that were volunteering their time or looking for tasks or seeing if they could help, and so it's becomes very easy for, you know, for us to select the upstaffing that we needed and assign them accordingly.
One of the things that I found curious is we continued to get reports that people were using 911 for an information line.
Right.
Yeah, maybe it's my age. Maybe it's because we've been doing this thing for so darn long. That concept just is flabbergasting. I mean, obviously people want to know what's going on. Okay, and if the internet is out, okay, they don't have that access. But to to call 911 to see when the power was going to come back up?
I've been doing this, almost 2.5 decades now, and, you know, people panic and they begin to use 911 for purposes that really shouldn't be used for. And, you know, I mean, you see all the agencies now trying to remind people when we do have critical incidences or natural disasters to really, you know, think about not utilizing 911 unless you have an actual emergency. And the reason for that is, you know, we get inundated. I mean, you can imagine, you know, Fortuna Police Department, a smaller agency, we have one dispatcher in there trying to handle, fire, police, and emergency medical services for the Eora Valley. I mean, we don't just dispatch for Fortuna. We dispatch for Fire Department, for Rio Del Police Department, and Ferndale Police Department. So, we have usually one dispatcher in there handling, three jurisdictions. So,
well, even if you had two, you still are talking, 15 to 20,000 people?
Yeah,
but you're not going to be able to handle a ton of calls.
Yeah, and it just becomes overwhelming very quickly. I mean, and typically in an emergency, you don't just get one call from one citizen. You're gonna be inundated almost immediately with a variety of calls, where the dispatcher is trying to, answer 911 within 30 seconds. So it's very challenging, and that's, why we're trying to remind the community only to use 911 if it is in fact an emergency.
Yeah, and part of the questions I think that a lot of folks have also, Casey, is what constitutes an emergency?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the emergency is, that direct threat to life and property. I mean, that's really what we're asking that 911 be used for. I hate to say it, but it's really kind of a common sense type of thing where, if a person or people are in an emergency situation where life or great bodily injury, something to that magnitude, your house is being broken into by an armed person. I mean, those are times where, a traffic collision, fire, something like that. Those are the times when 911 should be utilized.
Well, not that you have any bridges with overpasses, but that would be a legit one also, I think.
I think that would qualify.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Casey Day. Casey, so what were your takeaways from the last week? A little bit of time to kind of reassess and to see where things were. There's always chances to gap manage on things. But what kind of general impressions did you have with how the community reacted?
Yeah, most people know Fortuna is a very close-knit community, and, the takeaway is always the same. I mean, when there's some sort of, critical incident in Fortuna, our city really comes together, and we saw, those characteristics during the earthquake and in the days that followed. So, it's really easy to kind of see firsthand. I mean, I drove down Main Street. I don't know, it must have been 8 or 8:30 in the morning following the earthquake, and you got business owners out there that are helping each other and coming together for one purpose. And so as the chief, it just makes me proud to work in a city where that's the lifestyle.
Yeah, the fact that everybody is kind of pulling together, I mean, that's what makes us, I guess, is the simplest way to think about it. As you were looking at some of the different challenges, certainly Rio Del got hammered.
Right.
Are you able to help them out, either Fortuna City or Fortuna PD? Are there things that are still going on there to make their lives a little bit easier?
Yeah, you know, we, you know, the city manager, Merritt Parrott, and I were, you know, pretty much glued at the hip throughout the day following the earthquake. And so, you know, our ability to reach out and offer assistance was a constant thing. It's always there. You know, we're neighbors in the Eel River Valley, and so those relationships are wholesome and authentic. And, you know, we want to be able to provide that assistance where we can. And so, you know, we did work with the city of Rio Del to offer different forms of assistance. And we had a bunch of our city workers and city council. Our mayor, our new mayor, Tammy Trent, came in and cooked a ton of breakfast burritos for staff. And you know, of course, I think some of those made their way down to Rio Del. I'm not sure. But, you know, we understand that it's a challenging time, especially for Rio Del. And so, you know, we're always offering the assistance where we can.
Yeah, and that's about the best we can do in that kind of a situation, just to find out, you know, make it happen and then make it a little bit easier to happen next time too.
Right, right. Yeah, because, I mean, we all understand that, you know, what is, you know, one person's problem today is going to be ours tomorrow, so.
Yeah, yeah, it does kind of revisit everybody, doesn't it?
Right, yeah.
So as you're looking at some of those different challenges that are out there, what would you suggest if you could wave the magic wand and get one thing done a little bit better, other than the new police station, which, you know, is going to happen anyway? What would you look for? Is it the way we react as citizens in the community, or are there some hardening of the target, so to speak, that can be done before the next one?
Well, I mean, if you're going to give me a magic wand, Brian, I would just say no more earthquakes, because quite frankly, they scare the hell out of me. So, I think that in the city of Fortuna, everything that we did, you know, with diligence, and we did, you know, did a timely job of getting all the resources where we needed them. So there wasn't really anything that stuck out in my mind, you know, that was something that we were deficient in or something that, you know, maybe we could have done differently. The charging station that we set up at the Pavilion in Roner Park, possibly we could have got that up a little bit sooner. And then, you know, we really advertised that charging center for, like, mobile devices and things of that nature. And then, you know, I was asked a question, you know, later on by Russ Brown, the fire chief, was, you know, could people come and charge their medical apparatuses there? And I think we could have done a better job of advertising for, you know, people that had, you know, sleep apnea machines or anything else that needed charging, that, you know, they could have utilized that charging station for those items.
Well, so, you know, that's just pre-planning. You know, we can have all that stuff ready to knock out whenever it's ready, you know, rather than having you guys have to chase that thing down. Or, like with this, you know, the internet goes down. Well, okay. That was one thing that I found curious, is the heavy reliance on Facebook and social media, and it wasn't working. So some of us old codgers at least know how to handle it, huh?
Right, right.
Yeah, or people who know us old codgers. How about if I say it that way?
Well, for me personally, it was the value of a backup generator. So
exactly.
Having mine brought over from Shasta County, and we'll be utilizing that in the future. So.
Oh, you're gonna plug it in. Good move.
Yeah. You guys had enough.
All right, bud. Thanks for this morning.
All right, you're very welcome. Thank you, Brian.
Happy New Year. See everybody tomorrow.